Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you'd open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. It's after the book of Psalms. We're going to look in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. This is a part of the story of God's call on the life of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, this is God's word. "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. And when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself." Look also at the verses 26 and 27 in this chapter. "But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let him listen. And whoever will refuse, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God tells Ezekiel, "I'm going to use you to give warning to people lest they be destroyed. The wicked who turn will be forgiven and spared. Those who continue and refuse to repent will be destroyed." But God holds Ezekiel responsible for whether or not he issues the warning. A number of years ago, not many years in my book, but for some of you, it was before you were born. Not many years ago, in Atlanta, there was a young man who wanted to get into Six Flags by going over a fence. There was a warning on the fence that said, "Danger. Do not enter. No trespassing." He ignored it. He wasn't illiterate. He was in his late teens. He knew how to read. He knew that they were just trying to keep him out. So he went over the fence. He went a little ways further, and there was another fence with warning, "Danger. No trespassing. Do not enter." He ignored that. He went over that fence. And moments later, one of those amazing rides at Six Flags took his head off. He was dead on the scene. And the question in the eyes of many people was, who's at fault? I think Six Flags is a big company. They've got lots of money. They ought to have to pay for that young man's life. And other people were like, are you crazy? He scaled two fences. There were signs right where he crossed. Warning, danger, do not enter. And his life was ended. Now, it's tragic that he died. But it's tragic that he had a mindset that said, warnings don't apply to me. Keep out, no trespassing. That's not for me. I can do what I want. I know what I'm doing. Guess what? That guy is one of multitudes. Not everybody's climbing fences and trying to break into Six Flags. But there are people going through life absolutely ignoring what God says. If they are not warned, shame on us. But even if warning is given, there will be many people who ignore the warning and continue on to their own destruction. In fact, Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. So if you're just going with the flow, traveling with the crowd, doing what everybody else is doing, you need to know you're on your way to hell. You need to know that. And it would be unloving of me not to warn you. Chapter 33 of Ezekiel again recaps this message of Ezekiel being a watchman and the fact that God is using him throughout his ministry to give warning, 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 danger. One of my sons was driving an older car, and a warning light came on. And the warning light was to let him know that the engine was overheating, but he had somewhere to go. He didn't make it where he wanted to go. Not on time anyway, because he was broken down alongside the road while the engine was totally ruined. And that was the end of that vehicle. Why? Because he ignored the warning. Warning! Ezekiel chapter 33, God says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land and the people of the land, choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And hear the word. I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will save yourself. You will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you hear the message? God says, I'm not waiting around for a chance to slaughter people. If God wanted to wipe us all out, he could do that instantly. If God's desire was the destruction of people, that's easy for a sovereign, almighty, all-knowing God. But God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't like the death of the wicked. But God warns, if you don't repent, you'll be destroyed. If you don't repent, you'll be destroyed.
You know, that's Old Testament. I've never really been excited about the Old Testament.
Oh, okay. Well, let's look at Luke 12. What does Jesus say? He says, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body. Rather, fear him who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell. Jesus said that. So am I supposed to be in dread of God and cowering? No. Jesus says he loves you. But if you refuse to do what he says, you will suffer the consequences. God told our first parents, don't eat the fruit of that tree. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. You know why he said that? Because it was true, and they needed to know it. They came to Jesus, and they said, did you hear about the horrible thing that has happened? He said, do you think those people were more wicked than the other people? I tell you the truth. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In Revelation, five letters to the churches in the opening chapters. Seven letters to the churches in those opening chapters. And five of those letters call the churches to repent. Five of the seven say, repent, 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 repent. Why? Because we need to turn. We're headed the wrong way. We're doing the wrong thing. And God in his mercy is saying, repent. A fellow who I knew years ago had a serious problem with heart disease, diabetes. He's overweight. And talked about his health problems fairly often. So at a breakfast, there was healthy stuff, and then there was the pastry section. I mean, fat and sugar on display. And this guy is over there eating multiple pastries, just stuffing his face. And I went over and quietly said to him, privately, hey man, do you think your doctor would approve of what you're doing? And he said, my doctor ought to be glad I'm only eating four. Why would the doctor be glad? Because the doctor cares about him. And would the doctor be glad he's only eating four? No. His feeling was, I'm getting away with something. My doctor's not here. I can have as many of these as I want. But what's it doing to you? Sin may give momentary pleasure, but the long-term result is misery. The reason God says, don't do this, is because God cares about us, and he knows what's best. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 gives us a a wonderful pastoral example of what this looks like. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians 5, he tells the church in Galatia the same thing. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is he telling them that? Because he cares about them. He's not trying to spoil their fun. I remember as a child being warned not to touch something because it was hot. I wanted to see. So I touched it. It was hot. And just that brief touch, I got blisters. It's called a second degree burn. It hurt. It hurt even after I quit touching it. It hurt a long time. Ow! Why didn't somebody warn me? They did. They told you, don't do that. Well, I wanted to see. Well, now, have you learned anything from this experience? Don't touch it. No. Obey. 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 God in his mercy is giving time for more people to repent. God in his mercy doesn't just destroy us when we do wrong. God in his mercy tells us, don't do that. We do it anyway. He says, don't do that again. We do it again anyway. And then you know what I've seen countless times? Just breaks my heart. People blaming God for their troubles when the reason they're having those troubles is because of sin. Either because of what they did or in some cases suffering because of someone else's sin. But it's still suffering because of stuff that is a violation of God's word. And when we violate God's word, don't blame God for the fact there are consequences. Do you think I was mad at my mom when I got blisters on my finger? No. I was mad at me. I was the dummy who disobeyed and touch the thing I was warned not to touch. Well, it's my life. I can do what I want. Ultimately, it's not your life. All of us were made by God and belong to God and will answer to God. But God is giving us the opportunity to trust and obey. To put our trust in him. He not only forgives our sins, but those who trust in him receive the power to do what is right. He doesn't make it so that we just can't help it. We automatically do what is right. What he does do is to give us the power to choose and follow through. God empowers his children to do what he says. And if you stand there and say, well, I just can't help it, you need to get saved. And if you're a Christian and you say, well, I still can't help it, you're believing a lie. You're believing the lie of the enemy. Because he will tell you, you cannot change. This is just the way you are. This is the way your family's always been. This is the way it is. He's a liar and the father of lies. When you are born again into the family of God, God himself comes to live his life in and through you. And you can do what God says, relying upon his power.
So Pastor Wood, I guess it's been years since you sinned.
No, sadly, not the case. But whenever I sin, I don't blame others. I don't blame God. And I don't say, well, I just couldn't help it. I say, God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Change me. I want to be like Jesus. I want not only to be forgiven, I want to walk in holiness. I'm not sinless, but I sin less than when I was younger. And I am growing and changing still at this stage in my life. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And I want you to walk with me in following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. We don't deserve it. Thank you that we don't have to. We just need to trust in you, and you've shown that you are completely trustworthy. Your word is true. Your ways are right. Sin is folly. It is crazy to do the things that you say not to do because they lead to death. Help us to trust in you and to obey your word. And we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Folks, recently I've gotten quite a few phone calls from people around the country who are struggling with uncertainty, anxiety, wondering how to live in these current times with the things that are happening nationally and internationally, politically and economically. Health-wise, all kinds of things that are causing people to be anxious. And in answering those questions and trying to provide biblical counsel, I've often gone back to things that I wrote several years ago in a book that a number of people have found a great help. And so I want to offer that book right now to you at a discounted price. If you go on our website, you'll find that the price on Living Well in Babylon has been marked down to $10. That is a limited time offer. As you know, if you listen to this program regularly, we don't do a lot of merchandising. We don't sell things on this show. But I do want to make this book available to you, so we've lowered the price to $10. And if you'd like to get a copy, details will follow in a moment as to how you can do so. But Living Well in Babylon is simply 10 lessons from the book of Daniel that offer encouragement to believers about how to serve the Lord in a country that is hostile to God. What do you do in order to be faithful to him when the government and the people around you are not? I hope that you'll consider getting Living Well in Babylon, because I believe it'll bless you.
To get your copy of Living Well in Babylon, visit our website at pastorwood.org and click on Books. Or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-412-2433.